Radiohead was good.
Back when they played guitars.
Yeah.
It's almost noon on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. This is The Orphanage. Dave and Danny apologizing for that last segment for those of you who don't share my narrow gay tastes. And we're joined now by Cirque de Jake.
Cirque de Zuzek.
With Cash Saroy, the cash half of the Saroy brothers, and Jake Z of Ticket Top 10 fame.
Yes, sir.
Hey, can you replay that? Do you still have your thing over there? Can you play that Arctic Monkey song one more time? Well, so first off, what was that list of that you guys were playing?
That was just, it was my personal, it was the top 10 of my top 50 albums.
I want to tell you what I was thinking when this song was playing, but all right. I need to hear it to feel,
okay.
Feel the actual emotion. You can live beside the ocean. Leave the fire behind. When I pass the breakers.
Remember that band, Everclear?
Yeah. That, that no?
Yeah, no, I hear it. I hear it.
At night. That's what I was thinking the entire time. When we're I like it though.
Cut Copy was on your list.
Yeah,
you like that one better than the last one. In Ghost
it's,
Colors.
It's different. If you twisted my arm, I would probably say I liked In Ghost Colors more, just because it's more fun.
That's a fave of mine. Yes, that's a living room dancing album.
Yeah, but Zonoscope is it's good front to back. It's more of a cohesive album.
A little too slow for my taste.
Yeah, I hear you.
You guys talk Sam Hurd today?
Nope.
No, we didn't. We didn't.
For real?
That.
Yeah.
Dude, Danny, I figured you would be.
We got
creaming
sucked
over
into.
This.
We got sucked into cowboy talk, and then we got away from the
you
sports
know,
page.
You guys, in your cowboy talk, missed probably the most salient sports point ever made by a caller on this station.
Which one?
You cruised right by it. Dude said, "My girl's gone. My taint hurts. What the hell?" That's how the Cowboys.
It pretty much
feel.
Just brings the season together in a nice, neat holiday package. The way that guy described it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Danny. Over the past like 2 days, I've seen an explosion of Sam Hurd clearly doesn't watch Breaking Bad, and Sam Hurd clearly doesn't watch The Wire.
Yes,
articles.
He's like the worst drug kingpin in Chicago.
It's so funny how every white sports writer gets all those references. They're like underground economists, like telling you, like, clearly you don't do this. It's like. What do you
the
know?
Funniest thing I heard was that he wanted Mexican cell phones.
Yes, so they wouldn't because they wouldn't. Yeah, they can't track Mexican cell phones.
It's, no, like, it's like Sam Hurd.
You just go to Walmart and you get the prepaid.
It's like
burner,
Sam,
yo.
Sam Hurd read the. I don't know what is the little books that you don't have to read the whole book.
The Cliff Notes.
Yeah, he read the
notes
Cliff
of
Notes
of how to be a drug dealer.
The Cliff Notes of The Wire.
Crack Pushing for Dummies.
Or Kingpin for Dummies.
The Wire for Dummies, and decided I'm going to be a drug dealer.
Yeah. Skip
I'm
the details.
Sam Hurd for you.
Yeah. So the Bears cut him. Surprise!
I wonder why.
You think they'll
He's
miss
the
that
underwear
production?
Gnome.
What happened to innocent until proven guilty?
Hey man. No, they. It's better for the community. At large, that they don't have.
They cut him because he was so bad at dealing drugs, not because he was a drug dealer, because they looked at the deets and were like, come
really?
On.
Really?
He's an underwear gnome dealing drugs.
I heard a story of a family named Hurd here in the Metroplex that a father, that you know, they had the jersey for the little kid, and the father had to go in and take the Hurd jersey away and explain that they didn't get into the whole
details.
Can't
be wearing that anymore.
Right, but what they said is he's not a cowboy anymore. Mm-hmm. So that's why. And then he went out and bought him a Jason Witten. You gotta have the replacement.
You know, Stringer Bell.
White jersey.
What's he doing handling weight? String never handled no weight.
He was in.
That's why he had Poot and Weebe and Bodie to do that stuff for him.
Yeah.
Sam Hurd, if he's going to be the mastermind of this organization, he does not need to be
handling weight. You don't get your hands dirty.
No.
You go sit in econ classes at local community colleges and learn the trade.
Right.
Wear
reading glasses and Cosby sweaters.
That's the real downfall here. Not enough Cosby sweaters in his hustle.
What a dummy.
I know.
Unbelievable. But the most fascinating aspect of it, though, is what's yet to come out of his double-digit list of NFL customers.
Now, these custies, I wonder if these are small-time, you know, quarter ounce of hydro every couple of weeks buyers, or are they
surely there's not a
or
a limb of his drug tree
if now if that's the case then I'm interested as far as him selling you know, selling a dime bag to Anthony Spencer. I don't care. Because
allegedly.
Anthony's got to get it from somebody. Allegedly.
Why are you throwing Anthony Spencer?
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
He's driving around right now.
He's going, what the hell?
I don't buy dime bags. I'm smarter than that.
Let me allow you to make an appointment for 12:50.
Okay.
Where there is some loose information that I've uncovered.
Okay.
About NFL players that are freaking out, not because they possibly bought a dime bag, but they may have helped fund this operation.
The money.
There you go.
Well, just the point is it's not like, I don't want to sell it as if I've got some kind of scoop on some hard evidence, but when you do the math about what he makes, what mm-hmm. he has made, and the money that he was putting forward, it just doesn't make sense.
Somebody was bankrolling.
He has to look far for people that could provide him with capital.
Right, yeah. But if that list of double digits players suddenly includes people that are at least sort of knowing that they're funding that kind of operation.
I mean, did none of these guys ask for a business plan for this golden investment opportunity? They're just handing over Sam because he was wanting to move $750,000 worth of dope
grand
a week.
Like, do you think they just ask him before they hand over the money? Watch The Wire, right?
5 to 10 kilos of coke and 100 pounds of weed a week.
A week.
That's all of Chicago.
Yeah.
And if he's just getting started.
It's hard to get weed in Chicago right now.
He's like the sausage king of Chicago.
Oh, my
weed.
God. That's so weird. I didn't even think about
Abe
that.
Abe Froman.
There's definitely people up there like, God.
Well, thank
you. Damn you. I didn't even know Sam Hurd was my supplier. And now I'm dry.
Our special teams gunner got busted.
Well, think about
other
groups that are already established and have their territories established. I mean, Hurd was going to, not only are you going to have to, you got to come up with the cash to get the drugs, you got to distribute the drugs, but you also need muscle in case you're impeding on somebody else's territory.
The feds might have saved Sam Hurd getting a bullet.
Boy, no kidding, because that's where this was headed.
I think the interesting thing about the NFL customers, one is, were any of them fronting and helping him with his capital? And two, were any of them not necessarily dealers, but more than buying for their own personal use? Were they buying pounds at a time and hooking up their whole posse?
I would like to think.
No, but the point is that they probably weren't doing it that way. If they were investing, what they were doing was wanting the return, not getting their hands dirty. They were the ones smart going, hey, listen, go ahead and put it in. I want, 100% back. Double my money.
Yeah.
I don't want to know about it. I don't want to whatever. But you need the money to buy low and then sell high.
They want 100% payback.
You'd like to think that that information is not lying around somewhere, like that's not something traceable. But given the details already, I have a feeling there's like a notebook that says NFL players who put in on this operation, and
Peyton
it's underlined
Manning.
And just has like a list of people. Like,
it's like my drug dealing company.
Yeah.
It's
receipt stapled.
It's written on the back of his Bears special teams playbook.
Wouldn't surprise me.
We're gonna bust a wedge.
Poor knucklehead. I almost feel sorry for him in a way.
What a dummy!
Because he always seemed like a real sweetheart. You know,
he was the fan favorite.
Yeah,
he was the free agent who was T.O.'s, little project.
Mm-hmm.
T.O. was going to teach him everything he knew.
Yeah,
there's a man with money. If we're going to speculate, bodily noises.
For mad speculation. Cool.
That's right.
All right, we're going to get out of here. You boys have a fantastic show. Have a wonderful kick-ass Christmas.
Sex to you.
Yes, have lots of chicken and sex and just see what happens.
Boris Zuzek, a 7'9", 202-pound center out of Russia. Zuzek, known as Sputnik 2 in his home country, is an 18-year-old physical specimen who makes up for his lack of girth with one of the most impressive wingspans on Earth. Once he suits up, Zuzek will become the tallest player in NBA history. His 8'1" wingspan is nearly enough for him to be able to touch the ground with one hand while simultaneously touching the net with the other. Zuzek averaged 14 points, 17 rebounds, and a league record 8 blocks per game last season in the Russian Gagarin League. Issues with his visa prevented Zuzek's participation in the NBA Combine, so he's considered the biggest high upside question mark in the draft.
Come one, come all to a beautiful show. It's gonna be awesome and some other stuff. Some other musical stuff.
Oh, nice one, Sir Roy.
The need to turn it up is overwhelming.
Troy.
I just can't sit still anymore.
Here's Mike Saroy. Go get him, Mike.
I want to break things with my hammer.
Saroy, you've ruined everything.
Who, Cash?
I want to start a little war. Isn't that what this little red button here is for?
Gagarin League, huh?
It's the elite.
17 in the PM. This is the Cirque du Soleil radio program. I'm Cash Saroy, half of the Saroy brother tandem. But Mike Saroy, thankfully, is not with us today. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the, you know, Danny's called the you know, the cloud.
The black cloud.
But Mike is actually a physical representation of a cloud. His mass, his girth.
Like a cumulus cloud?
So to speak.
Io.
And we're just going to do without him today. Because he's busy traveling the world in a first-class airplane ticket with the Dallas Cowboys. So in his stead, we have one Jake Z.
Yo!
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing very well. I've always sort of fancied myself as a Eli Cash-type character of the Saroy family. Mm. Just kind of mailing
Eli.
My...
I get that joke.
Mailing my grades to y'all's mom and stuff, and just kind of trying to get in with the family. Not really a member, but always wanted to be.
So that's, not Rushmore,
the Royal
Tenenbaums.
Royal Tenenbaums, that's
yes,
right.
Sir.
Okay, I thought it was an Eli Manning joke initially.
No, it's
in which case,
well, you were wrong, though.
In which
thank
case,
you.
What's the Manning brother that didn't do anything?
Cooper.
Just saying.
Cooper.
All right, here's the crew. Sweet Dave Wilson. Thank you for staying in 2 extra hours with us.
Glad to be here.
I'm heralded.
On this very positive show.
Yes. Doesn't
love
it feel great already?
I love it.
I mean, you're smiling.
It's like the cloud has been lifted.
So
literally.
To speak.
Literally.
DJ Michael Cronick in the house doing tickers.
What's up, fellas?
Sweet Astros jersey.
Yeah. You know, I can name all the female actresses on Designing Women if you want.
Wait.
Mark that under. Who gives a
no, I do.
Yeah.
And continue.
You ready?
Please.
Well, we had Dixie Carter, right? Remember her? Yeah, Jean Smart, Annie Potts, can't forget Delta Burke, and I think later in the run, Jan Hooks came in and replaced Delta Burke.
That looks correct, according to Wikipedia.
Annie Potts' first major situation was Ghostbusters, or
yes,
is that just me?
That's where I remember from.
Yeah, that's where we all remember from.
Hot nerd in Ghostbusters,
so
right?
To speak, yeah, absolutely. Boy, Ghostbusters. What year were you born?
85, but I do remember to know that Rick Moranis didn't deserve that.
Maybe that was the year Ghostbusters came out. Machine, hello, how are you?
Our conductor's insane and our cargo is pain. Freight train, baby, how you doing?
All right. Thank you for that. All right, Jake Z in for the second half of the Cirque du Soleil co-hosting job. And I want to get to know you just a little bit.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have agreed to have you sit in had I known that you'd actually only co-hosted a show 3 or 4 times before. If it was under 5,
well,
I wouldn't have said this was a good idea.
I host a show every night. It's just that I'm talking to myself.
So well, that's one of the things different. I wanted to ask about. This top 10 that you do, is that live or is it taped?
It's live when the Inco melts down and then I have to throw hey, Dave knows what's up. Yeah, I have to throw my mic on and hurriedly look at the sheet and see what's up
and
next.
And the little sweat starts beating. And
yeah, but I would like to do it live, but the thing is I would have to go back and dub it because they play it overnight, and they need those voice cuts in the Inco. So
it's live to tape.
It's live to tape, yeah. The tickers, unfortunately, are live. Yes, I can't like just predict halftime scores of Mavs games and just... So, yeah, you know, I mean, I record it. I record all the voice parts. But...
All right, well, speaking of Mavs, we're going to get into that a little bit later on this next segment, actually, at 12:30, and then we're going to get into the Sam Hurd drug saga at 12:50. Follow that up with some Cowboys, and Mike Saroy is going to call in if he can get his face out of the shrimp cocktail or whatever they serve on the
plane.
He can
break himself away from having old fashions with Garrett for 2 minutes.
Just sipping a Manhattan.
Ruium.
And then SportsBot 2K3 is going to join us at 1:30, but I want to get into a little personal situation that Jake is going through real quick. You are with woman.
Yeah, I am.
You've taken a lover.
I have. Yes, a female lover. Yes, I...
Now, when you have a lover, that's one thing, but moving in with lover...
Yeah,
big time. ...is the situation we're talking about
now. Big time. Yeah, moved in last weekend. After 1 year, a little over 1 year of courting, moved in. Got a nice little quaint house over in the Grapevine area.
White
very
picket
near
fence,
where Machine lives.
Longest one night stand ever. Like, well, I was expecting it to end.
He was there. That's funny.
Really?
Yeah. And we're having a housewarming party tonight, and I'd like to invite every P1 in the world. Here's the address.
Holler.
913. No, I'm just kidding.
He was there the night we
did
met.
You really say that?
I was watching it.
What?
Do you really say something to the effect of,
I mean,
she's all right, it's a one-night stand.
No, I don't think I said that, but I don't think I was expecting it to come to us buying furniture together 12 months later.
No, but nobody ever expects that.
Putting together a patio table for
But you know what, though? Like, I'm totally fine with my identity at the ticket being the guy who's in support of having a girlfriend if you're cool with it. Like, the deal is up here, it's just nonstop, like, oh, it's gay. It's gay. Got girlfriend gay.
Well, that's because everybody's pretty much married,
and then they've been through it. Maybe 10 years from now, I'll be like looking at myself like in Billy Madison, like, don't ever leave this place.
You will be, trust me.
But for, I mean, the honest truth is, I think that in the end, if you want to have a happy life, you probably are going to need a mate, right? It's going to be tough to go through this thing alone long term. So, I mean, I have no problem starting now.
What is the thing that you're most concerned about?
Divorce.
Let me say closet space, number one. Do you have clothes that you like to have in a certain fashion?
The thing is, I travel super light. Like, I'm prepared to have to flee at a moment's notice. I have, like, one pair of jeans.
Very heard of you.
Like, yeah. I'd be better at that than he was. We'll get to that. But I have, like, three shirts. So, no, I don't need much space. I don't know. I don't know. You know, your number one concern is always just that it's not going to work out the way you think it is, just that people change. I mean, both my parents are divorced and both remarried, so I'm very familiar with the fact that things don't always work out the way you
Does she
promised.
Has she moved anything in that was like an
hell moment? I swear to you, it's like the clown box. Like, they just have a box and just stuff just keeps pulling out of it. Just here's more stuff, here's more stuff, here's more stuff. And I'm like, where did all this stuff come from?
There's no altar to anybody or anything, is there? That's the one thing that I always was concerned about, that if you're going to bring something in and suddenly the candles and the picture of
Ian
Ziering gets popped out.
You know, I want to get the poster that I had whenever I was like 8, Troy Aikman in like a duster that says Long Arm of the Law or whatever, and he's like got a cowboy hat on, but as long as I can put that in, she can put as many Scentsy's and like little signs that say live, love, laugh, or peace, or whatever, like gay stuff.
I've seen that one.
every female, like in their 20s, is live, love, laugh.
They like wooden things
that say
that have
peace.
Script on them for some reason.
Like, what do you
they
know about peace?
It.
Let's
means,
talk about it.
It means things to people.
What do you want us to do? You an intervention?
And she's throwing daggers at you from the couch.
Right, but no, I'm good with it, dude.
We wish you luck in all your endeavors and that your lovemaking is physical and enjoyable.
It is, and it was this morning. And I also want to tease at 1:50, we do have a small bit for the remainder so that we don't have to talk to Ty and Stu. I have a little small audio
and,
bit for us
I mean,
to play.
The Michigan Wolverines this week.
So
joining us now, Stu Cedar.
I don't have time.
Check out the Knackers on that one. All right.
All right, Sam Hurd coming up in about 15 minutes, but up next, I sipped some sweet, sweet Dallas Mavericks nectar last night, and I'm still buzzing this morning.
Yeah.
12:34 in the p.m., the perfectly on-time Search Story radio program. Jake Z in with me, Cash Saroy.
Indeed.
A Twitter war caused this. A Twitter war this week caused John Denver bump back music. So those of you on Twitter, and you know who you are, this is on you. It's probably not going to be the whole show, but it might be.
I was wondering.
We don't know. But if you say things on Twitter, there are repercussions, one of which is John Denver bumps. All right. Last night, your Dallas Mavericks, a lot of Dallas Mavericks news to get you caught up on. Last night, the team had what was called a Winterfest, which was basically an autograph signing session. It was free. Anybody could get in for free, which just lended itself to like a college atmosphere.
Yeah,
I mean, the people were just so geeked up.
Any ice sculptures?
No, there's a Larry O'Brien trophy, which is your NBA championship trophy.
I've heard of that.
Available to be had. You can make your picture with it.
Try that, Gaylord.
We've got the Grinch.
Oh.
But there was a full scrimmage, and, you know, the guys are kind of going through their stretches and whatever, and they had a little scrimmage. Looked like they were doing about 70%, and we got to see the guys playing. But I cannot tell you how fantastic it felt just to see those colors and some of the faces that we recognize from last year's run.
For sure.
It was absolutely like just dipping your feet into a warm bath. And I had, you know, this whole lockout thing, I missed it. I missed things that were happening. But seeing those guys on the court and the energy and the love that were coming from the crowd, it just felt like, God, this is fantastic. And I've been missing it so bad.
Yeah, that's pretty cool because I bet you there's only about 10 to 12 cities in the NBA where the fans have that level of excitement that it's back. A lot of people are like,
Well, and that was one of the things that I noticed specifically about the newest guys. Lamar Odom, for instance, who in his sound bites and his interviews, he's almost sounded like he's kind of bummed to be here.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the case at all. I think he's actually happy that he's with a team like the Mavericks and in a situation in a city like Dallas. But it's come off as such a shock. He's been with the Lakers so long. The way that it kind of, you know, when your ego is as big as, you know, these guys are that are superstars in the league, the guy just won Sixth Man of the Year. And it all happened so quick, and he started doing interviews after not being a Laker for, you know, 24 hours.
Yeah.
I think he just kind of came off as he was just, it was a bit much for him all at once. You should have seen his eyes looking around when these guys were treated like rock stars.
That's awesome.
Fans could not wait to embrace these players. And he just had a look on his eyes like,
okay,
the Lakers are a big deal, but this is something different.
Yeah, that's really cool because you know the line on him. It's always that he's kind of, not that this is maybe a negative thing, but as far as NBA players go, he's a tad bit tentative.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what Kobe says. I think, you know, maybe even they talk about it on the TV show. So I don't think it's that he's bummed. I just think that the way it went down, he's maybe a guy who takes things a little harder than maybe he should. Speaking as someone who does that, I'm not like knocking the guy, but yeah, that's really, really cool for him to like realize that this is the real deal down here now. We're not playing around.
Well, seeing everybody on the court starts you thinking about what a possible lineup's going to look like. And this whole thing is going to be really rushed. I mean, minutes and who's going to start, it's almost going to be irrelevant right off the bat. And watching tomorrow's preseason opener and only home game for the preseason against the Thunder, it'll be interesting to see how everybody meshes. The guys were gassed a little bit, running a little bit, you know, and I think that across the league there's going to be some players that are a bit winded when they actually go 100%. A possibility of your starting five could be Jason Kidd at the point with Vince Carter, Sean Marion, Dirk Nowitzki, and Brendan Haywood. That could be your top five. I get the feeling that, especially early on, I think Jason Terry will probably start.
Yeah, I think.
Just because when listening to the conversations of guys, it's shocking that, you know, they've been working for a couple of weeks, but just doing their little drills. I was courtside last night and just hearing Dirk teach Delonte where he's supposed to be, and Jet talking to Vince, and it's all a very fluid situation right now, and you got to think that it's like this in most NBA cities right
now. Yeah, no, it's fascinating. Well, I don't know that it'd be an interesting thing to look at to see the percentage of turnover on rosters throughout the NBA this year, like who retained the most of their players, that sort of thing. I can't think the Mavericks are in the top half of the league in that.
No. They've got to be in the bottom, and that's what made things so weird.
Yeah.
With why players had to leave and some such, because the new CBA and the new rules created a situation to where, listen, if you're over the cap, it's darn near impossible to sign guys, and if you've got a bunch of free agents that you have to sign them to big ticket contracts, that makes it doubly impossible.
Now, as far as the on-court thing, the starting five, yeah, like you said, I personally would much rather have Terry starting because you're going to have Odom coming off the bench. I don't think you need two guys. I'd much rather see Vince coming into the game, maybe only playing 20, 25 minutes a game. I don't hate the move, but I don't know that I want that guy trying to defend Western Conference two guards like right out of the gate.
I think
that scares me a little bit. That's putting him up against Jason Terry as a defender.
Right. Well, I think more importantly, just for the continuity of running plays, and not making colossal mistakes on defense as a team, you'll probably see the older guys, Sean and Jason Terry, start.
Yeah.
In quotes. And then let these other guys come in, and then what's going to happen is that is going to evolve, and the minutes are going to evolve over, you know, the weeks and months ahead.
And Deshaun started last year.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter who starts. It's going to be on the floor.
He was in a rotation, you know.
Yeah. It's going to be who's on the floor the last 5 minutes of the game. And I think Terry's got to be out there.
Yeah, that's true. But I also think as far as it does somewhat matter, because I think when you have, they have enough offense out of the gate already, I feel like. I don't know that you need Vince right away.
Yeah, that's his only. Just, that's like his one special move.
Yeah,
is
you
threes.
Usually don't need it right out of the gate.
Yeah.
So, but
well, we don't have a defensive two though, so there's no one.
That's true.
There's no
Sometimes
one.
Sometimes
really.
Kid usually ends up guarding twos, but I the whole thing makes me think about just like thinking about how deep they are. Thinking about that we're even having this conversation of, you know, these options they have and how deep they are. Maybe the deepest forward spot in the league.
Well, that's the way it was last year, too. I mean, granted, the talent was different, but I mean, what made the Mavericks fit so well together was the guys that accepted their roles and jumped in and filled, you know, a piece to the big
puzzle.
And you
get the feeling that that's going to be even more essential this season with the shortened season, with the back-to-backs, with the three games in 4 days. I just think all this makes me not realize, because it's something I've realized probably for the past 5 years, that the Mavericks have one of the top two or three front offices in the league. And it's, I don't know, I just love the fact that, you know, everybody's bugging out about Tyson, Caron, and JJ. And honestly, like, I'm not trying to say that I foresaw the Lamar Odom deal or Delonte West or anything like that, but the whole time, I was not worried. And that's this coming from a guy who doesn't know anything about the new CBA. I could not sit here and tell you how all that works. So my assumption is usually they understand it. They've proven to us that they understand the rules. They understand what they need to do for 10 years. They're going to figure it out.
I think,
and they did. By 48 hours after Tyson was done, Mavericks fans were thinking, I can't believe I had lost faith in them again for a brief period of time.
I think that Donnie and Mark have a very have-their-cake-and-eat-it-too attitude toward the team. They want to have flexibility, and they want to have the ability to make moves in the future, but they're not going to do it at the expense of not being competitive right now.
But that's what good organizations do in any field.
You're right.
And it's they have a vision. That's the key. You have a vision, and I always have the that's what you need as a fan.
There's different ways to skin a cat. The vision can be different team to team, but you've got to have something that you're pointed at and saying, that's what we're going to try to do.
Yeah.
And Mark's never had cap room. Ever since he's on the team,
I can see him in his bunker in the AAC just rubbing his hands together, going,
"Certainly,
oh man, we made it, so we're gonna have cap room."
Certainly, but right. Yeah, I'm pumped.
Present for you, Mavs fans. One of my favorite things, whenever there's a holiday break and you head home, is the James Bond movie marathon, or the what's the Lord of the Rings trilogy stuff. There's always something you can always bank on, a good
Ninja
movie
Turtles,
series.
All three diehards,
yes,
back to back.
Number two is underrated.
Isn't there four?
Oh, yeah,
there's
I never.
Four now.
I bailed on.
Two
I bailed after Samuel L. Jackson's
Die Harder.
No, that was a good one.
No, three that was good. Three was good. Yeah. But after that, I don't know.
So, Fox Sports Southwest and your Dallas Mavericks are going to give you that gift next week. Actually, starting tomorrow, Sunday at 9 p.m., there's a lot of fans that have wanted to relive the championship run. Set your DVRs, go to Fox Sports Southwest, because every single win.
Time to make another baby.
So to speak, every single win in the playoff run is going to be replayed, the entire game, from the Western Conference Finals, the Western Conference first round against Portland, all the way through the championships, including the parade, including the rally, from the 18th all the way to Christmas Day at noon. The Mavs championship rally inside the AAC will be played, and then that'll end right before the first game of the season where the Mavs take on the Heat.
That's awesome.
Set your DVRs, because all of these things. Mark Cuban is trying to make this available and trying to get something worked out with the league so that people can buy the games and keep them in their entirety, but that deal's not done yet. So,
any chance they have to do like what the Big 12 promos do, where they like every few months they have to cut one team out of the promo, and they have to just like cut the Tyson Chandler speech out of the celebration?
I don't think so. That stuff lives forever.
Like, as soon as they throw the ball to the post, it's already on the next possession. The video's just chopped.
The score changes.
What the H? I've got some media day fun. Actually, I'm going to save the Dirk for later on in the show when we do the stuff in the remainder. So there's some really good Dirk stuff from media day.
Okay.
But the Mavs had media day earlier on this week, and that's when everybody answers questions and has all this, you know,
I saw you
stuff.
There.
Yeah, I was there. But the Lakers have media day, too. And this Meta World piece, Ron Artest, I just want to play this little back and forth that he had with an interview. And this guy is just, he's crazy, but he's my kind of crazy sometimes. So listen to this interchange with Meta World piece.
Meta, I've been asking a bunch of players whether they call you Meta World Peace or Ron Artest now, and all the rookies say Meta,
yeah.
And all the veterans say Ron. What's up with that? Is this some type of hazing?
Well, I'm most happy that Jesus Christ did not let me lose my teeth when I was 20 years old. Because I was wondering, like, what if you kept your baby teeth until the age of 18 or 20 and then you lose them? That would look pretty bad. So I just think he's really brilliant that you lose your teeth when you're a baby rather than lose it when you're like 30 or 20.
Huh.
That has nothing to do with your question.
No.
But that was definitely on my mind.
That's what's going through Meta's mind right now. Did you wake up with that burning question? Did you have a dream about it last night, or where did that come from?
No, I was just thinking about it. And I was just like, wow, what if I lost my teeth, like, today, and I'm 32?
Wow.
You know? And then my new teeth will grow back in. You know? And I was just like, I was thinking about that. And I was like, that's pretty brilliant. He actually thought about, like, people's image and, you know, persona and things like that. Because you would be pretty ugly with no teeth. At the age of 20, 18, you know? So not only did he build the world in 7 days, 7 nights, but he also said, okay, let them lose their teeth early rather than late.
So
there's blood coming out of my ears.
That doesn't make
sense. Why is Katia interviewing the Lakers?
Blood coming out of my ears. That's Ron Artest on intelligent design.
Not only did he create the world in 7 days and seven nights, but he also thought about NBA players and their marketing plans with their teeth.
Yeah. So he's not blown away by, like, just the universe and gravity. It's just the fact that...
Teeth, man.
Yeah.
Good All right.
Lord.
Coming up, Cowboys at 110 with a Mike Soroy call-in. But first, Sam Hurd, drug kingpin genius.
He was born in the summer.
1254 is the Cirque du Soleil radio program where we just let the folk surround you. Just let that folk music sink in.
Let it envelop you.
Just pretend you're looking at a mountain. Feels good, doesn't it?
I
feel like we're on, I feel like we're on coffee talk.
What's coffee talk?
Saturday Night Live joke.
I love coffee talk.
So you understand coffee talk?
Absolutely.
I mentioned Ian Ziering earlier on in this radio program, and I was wondering why I didn't get any response from anybody.
Steve!
Okay, well, where were you last segment? And then I asked these guys in the break, and I'm like, you guys even know who Ian Ziering is?
Not a clue.
Blinks.
That's terrible. Come on.
90210.
You should know.
He's a legend.
It's 90210.
You should know.
Well, I have to
Coffee talk I'm in on.
He's in there debating the merits of bringing back Wani Rodriguez. Don't bother him.
All right.
Sam Hurd, good drug dealer or no?
We'll take your call on Sam Hurd, good drug dealer or no. And we might, so call in. All right, so Sam Hurd is a wide receiver. Used to play for your Dallas Cowboys.
I've heard of him.
Used to play for your Chicago Bears, but he has been released on account of him trying to buy coke and pot. So Friday he was waived. And basically what happened, if you don't know, there was a sting operation where Hurd was arrested Wednesday as he dined at a high-end steakhouse with an undercover federal agent and a confidential government informant. Hurd spoke of his desire to become a drug kingpin because he told his companions that he needed to buy between 5 and 10 kilos of cocaine and 1,000 pounds of marijuana, not for right now, that'll last him for the year. But he needs to buy this quantity every week.
Mind-numbing.
Every week he needs 1,000 pounds.
So every week he needs somewhere around 700 grand in product.
And that's what we're going to get to. Just doing the math, $700,000 of narcotics each week was what he was negotiating for. Double that up into $1.4 million in 2 weeks, therefore making it $2.8 million per month of cash that he needed to buy these drugs. Now, what does Sam Hurd make, you might ask? He signed a contract which pays him with the Chicago Bears for 3 years, right around $4 million.
So about 1.3 a year.
Right. $2.8 million a month in drugs he was trying to buy.
Yeah.
So in 2 months, he'd be buying more than his entire contract was going to pay out.
Yeah, between 35 and 40 million a year in weight.
So this brings up several questions.
More than we probably have time for, to be honest.
Several questions. Now, it was interesting hearing you in the mix talk to these guys about The Wire. I have not watched one frame of video of The Wire.
Well, I can...
And I know it's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm not going to push that on you.
No. I want to watch it, but it got to the point to where so many people were so excited about The Wire and talking about it all the time. I realized, okay, at some point, there's going to be a present that I'll be able to unwrap and watch the whole series.
Yeah.
It's going to be fantastic. But I get the references, and I understand what's going on.
It's just that I have so little experience with real-world drug trade. I mean, with this kind of drug trade anyways.
What do you need to know?
Right? I mean, but... These massive deals, my only frame of reference is television and primarily The Wire, maybe Breaking Bad, but this sort of thing. So it's tough for me to avoid, you know, couching it in The Wire when I hear these type of, even, you know, any news story, you know, Sam Hurd or otherwise.
Okay, but if you have watched these television programs, you know a couple of rules of being a drug kingpin.
Yeah, and it should be noted that these are not shows that are on NBC written by just some Hollywood writer. These are shows written by cop reporters and cops, so they're fairly true to life in the processes they use. And like a lot of these stories are, you know, quote, ripped from the headlines. So it is somewhat accurate, the understanding I have of how these things work.
So even though I have no idea how to be a drug kingpin,
yeah,
there's a couple rules that I would kind of subscribe to. Number one being, if in July, let's say, I had a friend that was pulled over in my car and he had $88,000 in cash that also had traces of marijuana in the bag, would I then go to the cops and try to get my 88 grand back?
Yeah, after they seized it.
After they seized it. And that's exactly what Sam Hurd did here in Dallas County.
So if you didn't have a red flag on me before, when you pulled this guy over in a car registered in my name.
So what's his thought process? He's thinking to himself, I'm an NFL player, so that makes an excuse for why I would have that much money.
Yeah.
So he tried to go to the cops. He said, hey, listen, that's my 88 grand in cash. The car belongs to me, but this is my buddy, and he was going to get some mechanic work done on it, but I need that cash back.
Yeah, and
here's some receipts for the cash, but the receipts don't match the amount of money.
Right.
And then he wonders why they gave him the money back.
Yeah.
It's because, buddy, you are being watched.
Yeah, it's very simple. And you don't even have to watch like next-level thinking TV shows like The Wire to know that they follow money. You can watch any action movie that comes out about crime, and they follow the money. It's interesting, though, that $88,000 that he... I mean, if you're buying $40 million of product in a year, or you plan to, but you're bugging out over 88 Gs, that they just write it off as a loss. That's one thing that you... Another thing you learn from those shows. You got to know when to cut your losses.
All right. Well, obviously, Sam Hurd did not know to do that. So he got busted trying to buy all this, including the thing that set the deal off. You know, when you're making a deal with the government, and by the way, there's wiretaps and there's video that usually accompany situations like this. I have not seen anywhere that video or audio exists, but if they're going to have going to the length of having an informant.
Well, they have text messages.
They already have that stuff one way or another, I guarantee you. Now, 1 kilo of cocaine was handed off in the steakhouse, and he brought it to his car, effectively cementing the deal. Yeah. Therefore, there's no gray area there. There's no, oh, well, maybe I was talking about it, but I didn't mean to do it. If we are talking about a massive shipment, and I gave you some, and you take it and put it in your car,
it's done.
It's a done deal, right?
No. Okay. Do we know if he had to pay for the steak dinner? That'd be really insult to injury, wouldn't it?
You think the FBI guy's like, I'll have added out a lot of that?
You know what they probably did? Oysters. They waited right till they brought it out. He picks up the knife, exactly. And they're like, gotcha. It's just right then.
Come with me, sir.
Before they even let him get the fork in there.
That'd be great to find out that his steak wasn't prepared right, and he bitched out the waiter. I said mid-rare! All right. So, here's the deal. NFL players are freaking out right now.
They're fighting beat reporters.
Okay, I don't want to connect the dots inappropriately, but just say this. NFL players are freaking out right now. What if... Now, these are just for instances. What if Sam Hurd has been supplying Bears teammates and former Cowboys teammates with party stuff? Just a what if. Possible. You know, we're not talking about choir boys. We're talking about athletes.
Certainly.
I mean, in this town, there has been White Houses.
Yeah.
There has been...
We don't have to look far.
I mean, this is not, you know, an impossible thing to think about. What if Hurd was the unofficial drug dealer of the NFL?
Yeah, that's kind of the way it's starting to seem to me, that he was the guy.
Because
there's no way there's more than... There's no way there's 10 of these guys in the league. I can almost be certain of that. There are not 10 other guys trying to do Sam Hurd-type deals in the NFL. That's just not... You would... There's not 10 people that stupid.
The bombshell that I want to sort of drop is that I don't have my journalistic, whatever little bit of journalism, you know, brain I still have left in me. I'm not going to come out with something that I don't have fact-checked and all that stuff, but I have heard something that has been corroborated by something that I've seen online that allows me to at least say this. A friend has been in contact with a current Dallas Cowboy over the last 72 hours, and this Dallas Cowboy has been doing everything that he can to scrub any connection between himself and Sam Hurd. Videos that they are on together, getting anything about Sam Hurd off his personal website, And the reason I'm comfortable in saying that, that my friend said, is because then I went back and looked at a video of these two people together, and it has now been taken down. So if you want to do the homework yourself and search, you will see what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Were they former partners?
You know, they had an association, let's put it that way. And that they want everything that is associated with themselves and Sam Heard taken down. Now, that's not an admission of guilt. That's not an admission of anything. All that is saying that there is friendships there that people are freaking out about. If there was nothing going on with this cowboy, they are friends and he wants to be rid of that person. Now, if Sam Heard is making $4 million over 3 years and he's paying $2.8 million per month in drugs that he's buying, it doesn't take a genius to realize that he is getting money from somewhere else.
Yeah. The capital's coming from somewhere.
And the possibility that current or former friends, teammates, other NFL players were investing in what could be a drug ring cannot be ignored.
No, it's definitely not out of the question. It's definitely not out of the question when you're surrounded by, when you're dealing with this amount of money and you're surrounded by other people who always have that amount of money, what do you think the conversation's going to go? And the thing is I keep asking myself with all these questions, like, why did he try to get that money back? Why was the guy in a car in his name? Why? All these questions that suburban white guy who's watched HBO,
what the hell do we
these
know?
Questions I have. And the thing I keep coming back to is there's a mentality that develops when you're an athlete. I've seen it in college athletes, high school athletes, but it becomes further cemented in pro athletes. I'm sure you know this from your job. But they develop an invisible, untouchable attitude. They develop an attitude that, because a lot of things have been, I don't want to say handed to them, but things have at times people have overlooked things that they've done, whether it was in college, grade-wise, whether it was just all sorts of different things that they kind of get away with. They develop a mentality that they're above the institution. They're above either the law, they're above whatever rules and regs are out there. Whereas if you're just some corner boy who comes up as a drug dealer, you've been arrested 7 times by the time you're 19,
right,
and you develop a sense of, I cannot screw up or I will be in jail.
Right.
And you develop a much, much more street smart mentality. And I think for a pro athlete, he's always not, again, don't want to say handed, because I know they bust their ass.
No, it's absolutely right.
But they've developed an attitude of invincibility, and I think that leads to being really bad at something like dealing drugs, because that's not an endeavor you can go into thinking that, oh, it'll just work out. Like, you really have to check your boxes, cross your T's, dot your I's to be a drug kingpin in a major metropolitan area. He's not doing that.
And if you're going to make a deal with a secret cop, you know, just go ahead and keep your anonymity, especially if you're a special teams player that nobody's going to recognize.
Yeah.
Don't say, listen, I play for the Bears.
That's the most fascinating part about it. That's the most fascinating part about it is that, like, no one in America who's not a fan of the Cowboys would recognize Sam Heard's face.
Right.
Like, he could be anybody. So he's not, like I said earlier, he's not Jerry Rice, who you're like, oh, I've seen him on TV for 20 years. It's Sam Heard. You don't have to tell anybody who you are. They're not going to know. Like, you've never been on TV. Like, you could just totally just give another name, have another cell phone, just all these things that he did, I think, indicates that he views himself as untouchable.
In the end, the answer is Sam Heard, good drug dealer. No.
Yeah, no.
If only he had gotten that Mexican cell phone.
Everything would have been okay. But he didn't. Instead, he talked with words to a person and took a bag of drugs.
He talked way too many words. That's another thing about it. You know, and I think that's a thing also that you develop when you're an athlete, is kind of a look at me. Hey, I'm doing this. I'm doing this. If you want to be a good drug dealer, you need to be real okay with no one knowing you're good at it.
You have to be in the background.
It's a
right?
line of work that you don't go into looking for public accolades. This is not like the 20s where you can be Al Capone, or this is not Colombia where you can be Pablo Escobar. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to be a drug kingpin today, be okay with being behind the scenes.
Well, but you know what? In the locker room, his persona was very low key. I mean, in talking to the guy anytime.
That's what's so fascinating about it.
It was always, you know, thanks to
the Lord.
Right, exactly. Stairs, very pious.
And that's probably somewhat calculated.
Yeah.
Well, will the Cowboys be so unfocused by the Sam Heard situation?
They'll be fiending and
to
scratching
fail again. In Tampa? We'll find that out next on the Cirque du Soleil Show with a call in from Mike. See ya.
Now that's choice.
Sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. Life ain't nothing but a fun riddle.
Thank God I'm a country boy. All right, that's my request. This John Denver thing has taken to text and Twitter, so thank you to those that have requested things like Thank God I'm a Country Boy. This is Cirque du Soleil Show, 1:16 in the p.m. Jake Z in with myself, Cash DeRoy.
Dessert.
And we are talking Cowboys at this point because it's the most important game of the season. The evil Buccaneers stand between the Cowboys and just utter collapse at this point. I mean, you know, I heard the guys earlier this morning talking about how the season and the expectation going in wasn't the Super Bowl expectation that sometimes, you know, is around this place, and the fact that, you know, we're looking at pretty much a 500 team, and that's looking like the way that it might work out one way or the other, and it just feels dirtier, I guess.
Yeah, because of the way it went down.
Of the little shining light in the middle of the season when, number one, the schedule was weak, and number two, DeMarco Murray showed that this thing has a running game and how great it can look and how cool the toys are when all cylinders are running.
Yeah, he definitely, he's to blame. The biggest and brightest surprise they've had this year is definitely he's the one driving Cowboy fans insane. Because if they would have never had him, I don't even think we'd be having this conversation right now. If they would have had to roll straight Felix and Philip Tanner all year, the whitest name of a black guy of all time.
Cowboys 2-3 before DeMarco Murray, 5-2 with him. Not counting last week's loss that I'm just kind of sweeping under the rug when you're talking about DeMarco Murray because he left after five carries. In those five wins in the middle of the season, Murray averaged 137.7 yards per game rushing. And he's not going to be here. And something that I'm hoping to see out of Felix Jones is we were talking last segment about athletes kind of expecting things.
Yeah.
And there's a difference between feeling that you've earned a position and then getting your chance to have that position when a player gets traded away.
Certainly.
Like, you know, Julio Jones, or not Julio Jones, Julius Jones, when he was the running back here, Marion Barber wanted more carries.
Right.
And Julius Jones had to leave for Marion Barber to get those carries. Then Felix didn't have the carries because Marion Barber was here. Marion Barber's gone, so Felix gets the carries. And just ascending to that position that you feel you've, you know, done enough to earn sometimes isn't enough. And players that then get that taken away from them, I think there's a different want to that I'm hoping I see out of Felix Jones.
You know what
I'm
saying? Well,
like the fact that, DeMarco came out there, played his buns off, was fantastic, and really provided something for this offense that Felix didn't do in the first hour or five games of the season. I hope I see the commitment to the game that I saw last week when he did get a chance.
And I certainly hope that you see that too, but you're not going to. I have almost 100% confidence that the problem with him is not necessarily want to. I think the problem is he's not what we thought he was. And that happens, you know? We overbuild the guy. He can, in the open field, he impresses you, and that makes you think, well, look what we have here. We have our game breaker. But the fact is, that's not what he is. He's not an every down back. He's not a 25, probably not even a 20 carry a game back that's going to be productive for you. And I don't see it. And I've never seen it. So I don't know why, I need to think that lighting a fire under this guy is going to, you know, make him a consistent churn out yards, move the chains back. I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Well, there is one person that has a master's degree on what is going on between the ears of Felix Jones. And that person is my own brother, Mike Soroy.
Hello. Hello, Dallas. Come in.
Who's joining us?
Mikey.
From a cellular telephone somewhere on the Florida Peninsula.
Great success.
Mike, earlier...
Damn doc.
Earlier I said that I kind of fancy myself as the Eli Cash of the Soroy family. Would you...
Very Shazam. Good. I like it. Okay. Wildcat, if you will. It was written in an obsolete vernacular.
Wildcat.
How's the show going? How about are you guys sucking?
Been an abortion.
We're great without you. We're great without
really?
You.
Really?
I mean, the feeling is high.
Moving the chains.
Yeah. First down after first down. It's like Tebow's really? Up in here. where are you at? What's going on?
I'm at a restaurant called Oyster Catchers. It's kind of weird because, I was on the team flight. We fly in last night, and then there's just nothing to do until the buses leave at 5 p.m. today.
Sounds good.
So, I went down and kicked it with Vita for a while, but these players are just kind of lingering around the Hyatt trying to make, I don't know, they're like they're in meetings and hanging out. I think it's Kenyon Coleman. I can't really tell. I can see his back. He's dining right near me.
Go talk to him.
Having oysters today.
Go talk to him. See how Kenyon Coleman is enjoying his oysters.
I walked outside onto a dock, so I can't.
Hmm. So idle time.
I've heard a lot of that. A lot of Vita laughing over the last day.
Okay. Idle time is where players run into trouble. So has there been any people running off into the corner talking about Sam Hurd or anything that we need to know about?
No, although I don't. What's the protocol for asking them Sam Hurd questions? I just let it rip.
Go for it as long as you don't mind getting tackled. I mean, that's basically I think what happened between
I do not want Dave Ratliff slapping an armbar on me under any circumstances.
You can handle that.
You think I could fade a Jay Ratliff attack?
I'm not saying you could go on the offensive, but I think you could probably defend yourself a little bit.
How about if I get a running start and I square off and punch Jay Ratliff in the face with every ounce that I have on this world?
All you do is piss him off.
Really?
I think
no,
you just upset
dude.
Him.
If he doesn't know it's coming, he's hitting the floor.
I think so.
You're a big boy. I think you got a lot of mass.
I think the protocol on those questions is have your recorder in his face when David Moore asks him.
Yeah, exactly. Just be nearby when somebody else does the
Yeah, and just kind of turn away, have the mic out, but kind of turn your head away so that you're not even... there's no blowback.
Extend as far away as I can.
You got the wingspan. You just big stick it in there.
Guys. Have you listened to any sports talk radio in the Tampa area while you were there?
You know, I haven't. I've been trying to listen to you two knuckleheads, but my Wonder Radio thing's not working so hot, so I haven't heard any of it.
I was hoping that you were going to have a breakdown of how sorry they thought that team was right now.
You know, I don't even try to listen in these cities, because, you know, you hear how bad sports talk is, and just blowhards and people freaking out, and, like, I want to spend any time listening to Buck Talk.
The buck stops here on Buck Talk.
Right. They've lost, seven in a row. They're basically terrible. I don't want to hear anything about it.
And yet, would you be surprised if you leave that stadium today with all those Cowboys with their heads dangling?
Well, you know what's funny? I don't know. Dude, like everyone has said all week, nothing that this team does could be that shocking.
Sure.
You know? But, you know, one thing, when we were getting off the plane yesterday, the stewardess, or wait, what do we call them? What are we supposed to?
The airline hose?
Flight attendant.
No, not, you don't call them that.
Airline ass. she says, we are now in Tampa. Well, you know, welcome to Tampa, everybody. Good luck in tomorrow night's game, although I don't think you'll need it.
Cocky. Have you seen how we operate?
Like, damn, we need Wendy the stewardess. Cocky. And there's like a groan. I didn't hear any player reaction. There's just a groan from the media, like, oh, God. And I could just see Garrett. I couldn't see him, but I could just imagine him face-palming in seat 1A, wherever he's sitting.
Just grabbing the microphone from the lady and going, the only way that's going to happen is if we compete in all three areas.
Yeah. Give me that, Wendy. Wendy, give me the microphone. Guys.
You've handled all three areas well, Wendy. You took the takeoff, the airplane in the air, and the landing. All three areas.
I thought you served the drinks. Thought you served the drinks well.
Food to report on the plane, though. They offer food, but I don't know where Jersey Mike subs come from. But somebody was eating Jersey Mike subs.
Jersey.
And I didn't have the sack to take a picture of it, but Rob Ryan walks down the main aisle. You know those giant Jersey Mikers?
Yeah.
He had two of them.
He's straight party subbing?
I don't look. There's a very likely chance that he's delivering one to...
Let's pretend that's not the case.
A Joe DeCamillis or someone along those lines, but all I know is he's just... barreling down the main aisle.
That is an awesome image.
Dude, and I have my camera in my hand. But, you know, they never told us. I don't know. I don't want to take... I'm not raising the camera, looking backward, and just snapping pictures of the players. So, you know, there's some level of trust that I'm certainly not going to come anywhere near violent. You know, I'm not going to take any pictures that I'm not positive are fine. But, yeah, I have my camera in my hand. I'm like, God, I want the picture of him barreling down the walkway with two jerseys.
I'd want that framed.
Did he have like a red plastic Solo cup full of mayo to just dip his sandwich in?
Oh, God. I just gagged as you said that. Oh. But he struggles with the dress code a little bit. He's a big fella. And you know I'm a huge Rob Ryan fan, but he's all just kind of disheveled and barely. He's meeting the minimum requirements for jacket and tie.
All right, Mike. As you know, the Cirque du Soleil radio program is the single most on time show on the weekend between two noon and two.
Come on, I'm enjoying this now.
Well, call us back in the remainder then, because SportsBot 2K3 is coming in. So say goodbye to the Metroplex, and if you want to call in later, you can.
Die.
Love your buns.
All right. Kill yourself then. SportsBot 2K3.
Don't
next
you
with
damn
sports
call
stories.
Again here.
Sorry, take Norm.
1:30 and 4 on the Cirque du Soleil program. Cash Soroy, myself, Jake Kemp, filling in for Mikey Soroy.
Just wait. Just let it soak in. Just let it happen.
Just feel the warmth.
Sunshine. Oh. Give me a hug, man.
A cup of coffee, that sound of snow just kind of... Oh.
All right,
not
ahead,
time
sorry.
For race week yet. But right. It's time for Sports Bot.
So my little brother, Mike Soroy, who is in the Florida right now, he bought himself a sports robot. I bet you didn't even know those existed. Did you know that?
I only knew through this forum here. This is my
I think
introduction
they discontinued
into it.
Yeah. But luckily...
a little recall.
In 2003, had a little bit of grandpa's cough syrup and bid on eBay for SportsBot 2K3. So let's just bring him in right now and we'll show you what he does. Have you ever met him before?
No, I haven't.
Hey,
this is,
buddy.
This is first time.
Look at that. He's got his Matrix jersey on.
I love it.
NBA's back, huh, SportsBot?
Rocking goofy socks.
Whoa. He's got his blonde hair. It's very cool. All right, listen. How about you just come over here, guy? Come on over here. Okay. I know. No, yeah, that's perfect right there. Right over by Jake. Print out a sports story for Jake so that he can give it to the Metroplex.
Thank you, bro. Thank you, SportsBot, bro. Headline, loud music makes alcohol taste sweeter, according to study of awesome things. So... this is something I think we can all certainly vouch for.
Sweet.
The study indicates that people tend to drive faster when the Beastie Boys' Sabotage is on the stereo, which I think that makes sense. People drink more when there's loud music.
Do they drink more because of the loud music?
That's what it says.
Do they enjoy the loud music more because they're drinking?
That's what the researchers at the University of Portsmouth. Portsmouth, University of Portsmouth.
So they don't know anything about music, but they know something about drinking.
Yeah, they're Brits.
Huh.
So, let's see here. The
Say anything about soccer.
They're asked to rate a selection of drinks on levels of bitterness and sweetness, and with loud club-type music playing at the same time, they have a more favorable reaction to the beverage.
So club music, so the...
Swallow, drink.
And it's probably also one of those buyer's remorse things where you paid $11 for it anytime that music's going on, so you were like, God, I gotta like this.
Exactly. You're invested
already. Can't
hate
this now.
All right, SportsBot, give me another story here. Better than that. All right, thank you, buddy. All right, dear Santa, give me Bieber or I'll kill you. All right, this is a British girl as well. I think SportsBot's trying to tell us something here about he wants to visit Europe or something. The 13-year-old British girl that shocked her mother by saying she asked Santa Claus for a bunch of presents, which is normal, but she also wanted the real-life Justin Bieber, and then she threatened to kill Santa if he refused to give it to her.
It means business.
Oh, my God. If you don't deliver me Bieber, the real Bieber, you're going to pay, old man.
Now, did you hear Corby talking this week about the power of Santa, like how you can use it against your kids and stuff, and like that he'll, when they start acting up,
he does
like,
this?
I'm on the phone with Santa. I got him on the line right now. And that's genius to me.
See, but it's also...
It all made sense all of a sudden. Like, this is why we have this.
But it's mental torture, though. You're basically messing with your kid.
Yeah, but at times
you need,
I'm just saying, like, as far as getting them to do what you want them to do, if you need an extra tool in that utility
in that battle.
Yeah, I mean, why
if
not?
If you're losing that
why
battle,
not this?
You're being outsmarted by a child, number one.
Well, no, as far as just making them do the things you need them to do, if you don't have enough deterrence or whatever, or rewards, then now we create this fictional character, and they're like, these kids, he said they're terrified. They're like, when Santa's on the line, it's like, all right.
Santa's on the horn.
It's game time.
You need like a Santa, like a bat signal.
Exactly.
Don't tell mommy about daddy's friend or Santa will not bring you presents.
Okay? Uncle Jeff came by again. all right, so tell me if you think that the Santa technique is working with this 13-year-old British girl, because not only did she threaten to kill Santa if he did not deliver the real-life Justin Bieber, they also reported that this lady, who, by the way, places in England are weird. She lives in Brickell in Bedford. That's what's that?
H-E-B right over here?
No, it's not the same thing. She also threatened to hunt down Santa's reindeer so she could cook them and serve their meat to homeless people on Christmas Day.
Okay. Whoa, what?
That's so a ridiculous plan.
So many angles.
She has a good cause,
though. Yeah. I mean, it seems like they've done something right, but lots wrong.
Yeah. You think they've got a handful?
Yeah, I think what they need is the dad needs
to... call Santa.
The dad needs to dress up like Santa, sneak into the kid's room when they're asleep, wake her up with, like, a wave a pistol in her face, like, put a pillow, like, over
her
mouth.
Beat the crap out of her with socks filled with oranges.
just point it at...
I don't think you guys have this right. I think you're
I'm not a parent.
How are you going to hunt flying reindeer, though? I mean, that's the real question.
You get them when they're down, man.
They don't have hooves.
When they're tied to their post.
I can guarantee you one thing. That child's parents do not spank her.
Sportsbot, give Jake a story, will you?
All right, then. Here we go. Oh.
Whoa.
Look him in the eye.
That one came out of the music file there. Okay, so headline. Foo Fighters literally caused geological tremors during concerts in Auckland, New Zealand.
All right, time out real quick.
Yes, sir.
20. I've come to a real... Yeah, thank you. I've come to a realization on the Foo Fighters.
Awesome.
I love Nirvana, obviously, and I liked a lot of the Foo Fighters... But I saw on, like, Palladium some concert for the freedom of the Tibetan Irish some such.
Yes.
Irish famine.
And the whole place
known
was
with
filled.
Their strife.
It was a big stadium. Yeah, I mean, I felt their pain.
Was this Wembley?
Something
Wembley
along
Stadium?
Yeah, something, you know. And every song sounded the same, and I've lost my affinity.
How dare you?
No.
You are not very smart, sir.
I would say, I mean, I'm a Foo Fighters fan, but they do suffer from a little bit of same-song-itis.
That's all I'm saying. They're talented, they're energetic, the show is
cool.
Well,
when you've been making rock songs for 20 years, some of them are going to sound alike. That's just going to happen.
Yeah, there's only so much distortion difference and drop detuning that you can do.
Yeah.
Go to U2. They just decided to do some drugs and make Octung Baby, and we changed things around a little bit. You know, you gotta change the game a little bit. Otherwise, you just sound the same, and that's the way that it
sounds. Don't need no instructions on how to rock, okay?
But apparently, they're playing those songs that sound exactly the same with such energy and at such a volume that it is creating seismic activity equivalent to volcanic...
Maybe they're God.
Yeah.
I think Dave Grohl is God.
Maybe it was Dave Grohl that decided that Meta World Peace should lose his teeth so that he could regenerate.
At such an early
them.
Age. Yeah.
Thought
that
this through.
Commercials.
That was a good one, Sportsbot. I appreciate that.
All right,
buddy.
Sportsbot, one more over here, please. All right. Yelm, Washington. Dateline, Yelm. If Scamp the Dog was living up to his name by playing a trick on his owners, a grandmother in Washington is not laughing. Says the AP headline. All right, so basically, this old lady, Rita, that was Rita, thought her grandchildren's puppy had died after it escaped through a fence and was hit by a car.
Mm.
The terrier Shih Tzu mix was bleeding and his eyes were fixed. He was not breathing. So McKinley told the husband to wrap him up in a blanket. And they left him under a wheelbarrow to keep animals away as they prepared to bury him the next morning. They're going to have a little burial. So they go in there to their 6-year-old twin grandchildren. And they sit them down on the bed. And they say, Scamp has gone to the doggy heaven.
All dogs go to heaven.
It is not funny. It is not funny. There will be no more Scamp.
Have you ever run up on two dogs that were stuck together from doing it?
And then a hobo popped out of its butt?
No. Sometimes they get stuck together and you have to, like, shoot a BB gun.
That's the weirdest thing you've ever said.
What the hell are you talking about?
This has happened.
That's so
you
got to
get a garden hose after him.
Yeah. Dave knows what I'm talking about. This room versus that room.
Are you guys being serious?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Dogs will get stuck together.
Have you never been in the country?
My dog must have been like the... Like Dr. J of lovemaking. He just knew what he was doing.
Low T test.
He was all smooth.
The dog is revitalized in the bedroom. Okay.
There's a fish hook at the end of the male, and he's up in there, and he just can't.
Something. They are stuck together, though. And you have
so
to,
much momentum.
You got to get water or a BB gun or something to scare the life out of them.
Okay, so you're scaring them apart.
Yes.
You're not like. Lubricating the area.
You're not taking over anything.
I'm not putting them in hot water, then cold water.
Dumping oil on them.
Okay, I don't know. I'm asking honest questions. If I don't know, there's no bad questions.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, anyway, after Scamp went to doggy heaven, the husband returned to grab Scamp, and Scamp was sitting up completely alive. So they went through the torture of telling the kids that Scamp was dead.
Dude. It's like Pet Cemetery.
Go back and check on him, and he's fine.
That's
$3,000 of vet bills later. Scamp is the family's Christmas present.
What's your limit on spending money on a dog for
Oh, that's a whole segment.
Boy, I agree.
That's a whole segment.
About $15.
You know that my wife, I have to bring this up right
table
now.
Table scraps?
My wife has gotten to the point to where she, we're so in love with our dog, Wilson. We don't have kids, you know. This is our, you know, whatever. Thank you. You know, you'd think that.
Hey.
She goes so overboard with this dog. She didn't care about me.
No.
She says that the dog, I'm like, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to go first. I'm the male, you know, whatever, between her and me. And she's like, but, and I go, but, you know, Wilson's going to go before both of us. And she gets, she's like, don't say that. She hides the dog's ears as if the dog knowing that it's going to die before us somehow in English is a problem. And then she says the following line. She's holding the dog, looking at it in his face, and she says, you and I will go out together.
Oh, my gosh.
That is.
What the hell? What, how am I, what am I supposed to do to react to that?
Wow.
That's that just means you'll be free in a few years.
Yeah.
Start okay.
Shopping around.
Sounds like a murder-suicide.
More stories!
All right, go. Sports spot, give me a thing. Do the noise.
Oh, look. He's got a DAT tape here.
Wow.
He's got some audio. Tape? He's got a DAT.
A little innovative little man.
Didn't know he knew that.
He's got a Tim Tebow-related DAT tape.
Oh, so this is Tebow when he was mic'd up for the last game.
This would be mic'd up against the Chicago Bears. The 59-yard field goal to send it to OT. I think like a 52-yarder to win it.
Well, there's no chance that he talks about God on the field, right?
We'll put a wall of protection around me and my teammates today. And we go out there and we get on you with everything we do and say, I love you in Jesus' name, man.
Oh, or the first thing that he says.
God is an awesome God, he reigns from heaven above where we're.
Is that meta?
Hey, good play, man. What up, Lance Briggs? What's up, man?
Full name.
Hey, man, how you doing, brother? I look forward to playing you for a long time, man. I love watching you, brother.
Thank you, brother.
Hey, you been back to Florida anytime lately?
I go fishing 20 times a year.
Nice. Hey, let's just focus on getting one first down. Find a way to get a first down. We'll get the mo going, all right?
Tebow took two or three big shots.
Are you all right?
Yeah. No, I'm fine. Yeah, it didn't faze me at all. Fine. It's hurting more than I am.
Tebow the gun, Deckard of the right side, Demaryius Thomas left. Tebow with a fake in the pocket, loads it up, home run ball. He's got Demaryius Thomas. Thomas has it go right through his hands at the 10-yard line.
Should have been a touchdown.
Did it go through his hands? Hey, guess what? You're about to go catch the game winner here in a minute.
Oh, really?
So you're good. Hey, no big deal. Just makes it closer for a little bit longer, man. You're about to go catch the game winner. And then you'll be the hero of the game.
This guy.
No matter what, win or lose, Lord, give me the strength to honor you.
Tim Tebow in the first three quarters was 3 of 16. In the fourth quarter, he's 15 of 20, and we head into overtime tied at 10.
Hey, baby. Let's go, man. God is good. Let's go, baby.
Great job.
Thanks, buddy. Let's go do this thing. All right, buddy? Here we go. Huddle, huddle, huddle. Hey, believe here, right?
Matt Prater can win it. An attempt of 51 yards for the victory. Prater with plenty of leg on the way. And it is over! Yeah! Yeah! The Broncos have won six consecutive games.
All right. So that dude basically told Demaryius Thomas that he was going to catch the game winner. I mean, you know, for as magical ride as this guy's on, if you say something like that on the sidelines and then it happens,
yeah,
it doesn't matter about anything else. Like, you know that the guys in the locker room, that they just don't care about anything else but winning. They have to be like, all right, well, hell.
They probably are also noting that he picks the worst church songs to sing ever. My God is an awesome guy. That's the most boring religious
really
song
is.
Of all time. Like, update it. Give me some Jars of Clay.
So he's just singing that
or something.
Jars of Clay.
He's just singing that as he's warming up.
Yeah.
Why does he wait till the fourth quarter to use the prayers that really work?
Oh, the good ones?
Yeah.
The gold plated?
Yeah.
All right. Up next on Cirque du Soleil with myself, Jake Kemp, Cash Soroy, I have a treat for the P1.
Audio treat?
Audio treat.
On the ticket?
Treats and snoozing.
We have chicken pie and country ham, homemade butter on the bread.
1:57 in the p.m. on the Cirque du Soleil radio program. Jake Z standing in with myself, Cash Soroy. Now, normally the remainder is named that because we just have a bunch of scraps that we haven't got to, but we've got a lot of meat in this soup, so...
Hey, Rich!
Joining us
hey,
from
Rich.
Florida.
Everybody, Cash's real name is Richard. Dick.
Mark that under, who gives a...
Exactly.
It's Big Dick Ciroli.
Can I help you, Mike?
I wanted to call in and offer my show rankings today.
Oh, you didn't listen to a stitch of it. Go.
Well, I want to be fair. Jake's there as well, right?
Yeah.
I didn't hear what you guys brought today. You know I'm fair when I do this every time, so I want to be fair. Between the two of you, I have a little quiz that I want to determine who wins between you two.
Mm-hmm. Go.
So right when I get done with the question, you guys just go as fast as you can. I want you each to name as many members of the Wu-Tang Clan as you can.
Okay. RZA, GZA.
Go. Woo! Tang.
You God. Raekwon.
Woo.
My brain.
Tang.
ODB.
ODB.
Dog.
Snoop Dogg.
Inspect the deck.
Ghost. Inspect the deck. All right. There
Landslide. Damn.
Inspect the deck.
Inspect the deck. Come on.
All right.
Inspect the deck. All right, here we go. I got to be honest. I brought it.
Yeah,
I brought it as usual, and I got to shoot you straight. I was number one today.
The Rob Ryan Jersey Mike thing. I'm okay with that. After that,
I nailed that. I killed the flight. I talked about Wendy, who's going to be ranked in this as well. Here we go. I'm one. Machine is obviously two.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go Krennic with three. I think he probably was solid today.
I'm not even going to argue this anymore.
Dave Wilson, rock solid. Four, we'll go Sportsbot. Five, always funny little rascal. I love little Sportsbot. Right?
Whatever.
I'm going to go Clifton Gethers is five or six. He was the guy eating oysters next to me. Cowboy defensive lineman. He was killing it. And then I guess the Tebow audio, and then Jake, and then bringing up on the rear.
Captain Caboose.
Who cash?
The sports swordfish.
It's Richard.
All right. How do you hang up on someone?
How do you hang up on someone?
Drop on the board.
Which one? Yes, hung up on
there it is.
God, he's what gone. A pain in the ass.
I have a feeling that if he had heard this
Don't
bit,
ever call here again.
This brief bit, that he would have ranked me higher. So, as we heard a minute ago, and it's what got Michael Krennic such a high ranking in today's show, that Ticket Ticker, which I fake my way through every night during the top 10. Ty Walker does every day.
I don't fake through every
and
day.
He doesn't
I find,
fake the funk.
Here's my brief setup. Right. I find the ticker to be funny. Our bet is like... 30 years old, 25 years old, it sounds like.
Ticket ticker!
The voice, the way that my voice changes when I do tickers is entertaining to me. By the way,
that's the soundtrack to my hell.
Yeah, mine too.
That's the soundtrack to my love
cliches,
making.
The cliches we use, come on. The cliches we use, the way we, the whole ticker format to me is comical. So, I thought, I originally wanted B. Ridge Phyllis to do this because he has the newsiest voice, and I thought it would be hilarious. But he was moving yesterday, so I got newsman Sean Bass to voice this. And the basic idea is just applying the ticker format and the ticker approach to unfortunate non-sports life situations.
Yes!
And I have two of them here for you, so we can just roll whichever one you want first. I don't care.
All right, I'm excited.
Breaking sports news now. Ticket ticker.
Till death do us part, or at least until poor judgment at a company Christmas party. This ticker is service of buttered biscuits. Joining 50% of all U.S. Americans, Frisco resident Randy McRandallstein and his wife Lisa have filed for divorce after Lisa did not come home on the night of her company Christmas party, a violation of their long-term contract. And a dejected Randy is concerned about collateral damage of Lisa's carousing.
I just want my kids to know that I love them, and this isn't their fault. There's nothing they could have done to prevent this.
I'm sure they'll come around to see it that way after years of expensive therapy. Still no word from Lisa's camp yet. Local creative director Cash Ciroli, known for his work with the Dallas Mavericks, but he's also known as a man of many ailments. Cash recently fended off a nasty case of gout, but this gout says, not so fast, Ciroli.
I seen you eating that pizza with anchovies and asparagus, Cash, man, and me and my uric acid attack are coming back for you.
Also in Cash ailment news today, his goiter is set to be enshrined in the Grossest Thing of All Time Hall of Fame. This ticker is service up.
Streaking!
Here we go! Yeah!
That's the Ticket Ticker. I'm Sean Bass, reminding the P1s to be one. Tune us in, turn it up, keep it on. Sports Radio 1310.
So you get the idea.
Wow. Informative.
Informative. Basic stories.
I got
news.
The whole feel.
10:30, 50, you're informed.
I'm more glad to see Jake with the Man of a Thousand Voices.
Oh, yeah.
Randy McRandall. Steve.
So we have one more guest appearance by none other than the traffic sun goddess, Alexis, here. Oh.
Breaking sports news now. Ticket Ticker!
In a stunning turn of events in Tarrant County last night, Watauga woman Tammy Cherie Nathan was arrested after a domestic dispute with her husband Todd Levi Nathan. This ticker is service of how awesome coffee smells in the morning. Tammy becomes just the second woman arrested after a domestic disturbance in Watauga this year after police determined she had repeatedly put out Marlboro Red cigarettes on Todd's arm when she was detained.
I done asked him 4 or 5 times to get his lazy butt up and go to the liquor store and pick up some chicken fingers, and he just sat there, so I burned him with my cigarette.
After deciding to press charges, a shirtless Todd rode off into the sunset on a four-wheeler. Although he may not look like it, local sports radio producer Mike Soroy is apparently a bit of a renaissance man. Today, Soroy announced that he was opening an instructional school for guided speedboat tour drivers in the Tampa area. The native Floridian says he'll be the most rigorous program from Wakasasa Bay to the Everglades. And also, he has a message for his brother Cash.
I'm done with the show. You can get Sean Bass or whoever, or not.
This Ticket Ticker is service of eating outside on patios when the weather is nice. Your next ticker coming up at 12:50.
There
I'm Sean Bass, reminding the P1s
it.
To be one. Tune us in, turn it up. Keep it on. Sports Radio 1310.
I think we've cracked a whole new realm for the Ticket
Ticker. Go to the liquor store and pick up chicken wings. That's where they keep the chicken wings.
So I burned them with my
That's
cigarette.
Two separate trips.
Yeah. Okay. Comma.
Yeah, and pick up some chicken fingers. Yes. So there you go.
Oh, you put those stories in the ticker format, and I am more interested because it's upbeat. Mm-hmm. It sounds sportsy.
A little quote that tells you pretty much nothing, like most of the ticker quotes.
Don't worry about the content. We want to know you to know that we were there.
Exactly. So I appreciate you boys letting me do this today.
Love you.
Excellent work.
I'll see you later.
Thank you very much for jumping on.
You will.
At your house.
You will.
So
all right.
We got Sweet Ty Walker in here.
Hello.
And you and Stu are going to take us into the darkness of Saturday evening, right?
Yes, going to keep you updated on the New Mexico Bowl play-by-play. Also, Alito and Manville Class 4A Championship going on right now at Cowboy Stadium.
I'm sorry, I nodded off. What were we saying?
No, we'll talk about lots of good stuff here. We'll get you ready also in that 4 o'clock hour. It'll be the pre-game show for Cowboys and Bucks.
Is that catered?
What?
Is that catered like the actual?
When's Babes get here?
Babes gets here when they know we have left the building, Babes will roll in. Ours was catered by Christie's where we ate lunch earlier today and we had to pay for it.
All right. Well, thank you to Ty Walker. We love Ty Walker. We love Stu Cedar. All of you guys, thank you very much, Jake Z and P1s. Just the fact that you spent a day with us makes me happy on the inside by my heart part. I love you. Goodbye.
And I'm out of material. I'm sorry.